right time. Ann Eller right back here on the I Love Ann Show. Gracie, my Weimaraner, is sitting right here with me. She's going to be very interested to hear what our next guest has to say. I have Cassie Unruh here. She's done a memoir, Taming Me, Memoir of a Clever Island Cat. But she also is here to talk about, is your dog a genius? And Gracie says, what do you have to say, Kathy? I'd be gentle. I'm very smart. How are you doing today, Kathy?
I am good. And I'm sure that Gracie is very smart. And I'm glad she's sitting right next to you, because I'll tell you, my little rescue Shih Tzu is sitting here, and he just woofed. So, you know, you might hear a woof coming over the line, but you'll be used to that.
Absolutely. I'm constantly, usually I put the headsets on, and Gracie has learned time to be quiet, but it doesn't always work when other things outside the window are more interesting than what I'm saying on the radio.
Is that possible?
Yeah, it is possible. She has a bird outside the door that torments her. Well, I love the name of your Shih Tzu. What's his name?
His name is Wee Willie Winky, and he was actually named by my husband. I gifted him to my husband when he was just 6 weeks old. He was rescued from a puppy mill. So he was very, very wee, and I think Tom just kind of looked into his eyes, and they winked, and instantly that was the name.
You know, isn't it amazing how we name our pets based on first impressions?
Yep, yep. They just seem to have an appearance that says this is what the name has to be.
Sure. So now you are here to talk about, is your dog a genius? How do we determine that?
Well, there are standardized tests for dogs, believe it or not, just a couple of them out there, that measures dogs, one by pure IQ, and then the other, there's a ranking of breeds by intelligence based on a survey of dog trainers. And I am certainly willing to discuss all of that, and at the same time, a big, big caveat that I don't think that we should pigeonhole dogs. I think each one is an individual, and while certain breeds have certain traits, I think that the way our particular dog turns out has a lot to do with how we interact with that dog. I think time, touch, talking, and how we build a relationship helps to nurture their individual innate intelligence. So I'm very leery of saying this breed is more smart than that breed, and breeds are meant for different things as well. Some are meant to herd, some are meant to point, some are meant to just be companions.
Yes. Well, you know, Gracie was crushed because a week ago we had a gal here, I think she raises Brittany Spaniels, and she goes, Ann, you may think your dog is smart, but Brittany Spaniels are more smart. And I was just, Gracie just went over in the corner and sulked for an hour.
Because she knows better.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think the more socialized and the more time that you spend and talking and everything, it makes a big difference. I'm sure that Gracie, understands everything that I'm saying.
And, you know, that's really not far-fetched. I don't know whether you totally mean that or not, but it's not far-fetched because, of course, they have the ability to learn words. I, too, am absolutely certain through all the dogs I've known that they can comprehend complete sentences. Now, what we don't know is how much of that is the actual words. We're certain that some is.
Sure.
And how much of it is our body language. You know, dogs also, when we talk about intelligence, have tremendous EQ or emotional quotient, emotional intelligence. Their ability to read us makes them very smart and translates into actions and behaviors that we interpret as pure intelligence.
Well, I think Gracie is, and the other thing I think that a dog may have that sometimes us humans lose, they have single focus. When she is focused on trying to get something from me or to get my attention, there is no stopping her.
And that's correct. That's what we love about them, is their ability to live in the moment, to be absolutely present in this moment, you know, which is what a lot of humans strive for, and we know how very difficult that is. But dogs have that innate ability.
Yes, and it is fascinating. So, but how do you, I know that you are big into rescue animals, and also this book that you've written about, is it about feral cats? Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, it's a Rides to Riches adventure tale, and it's set on a lush tropical island where there's a lot of danger behind the mansions and all the lovely foliage, and it is told in the voice of a cat who was a formerly feral cat Yes. So while you're having this adventure, you're also learning about what it's like to be a feral cat.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Go ahead. Well, I was just saying, feral cats are a really big problem. They're a problem here in our area. We help out with our Humane Society a lot, and feral cats is one of the issues. And, of course, the other issue is the puppy mills, which you just said you just got one of your dogs from.
Yeah, puppy mills are huge, as you know, and you've probably told your listeners this before, but we want to remind them that you should never, never, never buy a dog, a puppy, from a pet store, because chances are near 100% that that dog came from a puppy mill. So, and yes, I'm all about adoption. I think that's the number one thing to do. If you really need a purebred, if you really want one, 25% of animals in shelters are purebreds, and then, as you know, there are rescue groups for all sorts of animals. So you can get what you have your heart set on by adopting.
Sure, it may take a little work, but with the Internet, it certainly has changed things. You know, 20, 25 years ago, that would have been difficult to do.
Yeah, PetFinder.com is one of my favorite sites. I mean, if you're looking for a particular somebody, PetFinder is a great place to start.
Sure. So now, I understand you grew up on a farm where you had a hobby farm where you had all sorts of animals. When you were growing up, what did you want to be, Kathy?
I didn't know what I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be someone who traveled and did interesting things. Early on, that was a visiting nurse because I knew they got to travel and meet different people. So basically, I just knew I wanted a lot of adventure. And I think growing up with so many animals, it just never even occurred to me to have a life without animals. So that didn't become a conscious thought until maybe when I was a teenager.
Yes. Well, and then you went on and you've been a reporter with numerous TV and radio outlets. I bet you look at your life and say, wow, how did it all come together?
Yeah, a lot of things were happenstance, or we might say divine intervention, depending upon your point of view. But the television recording career was definitely the travel and adventure. That made that all come true, so I was born for that.
And now you actually have a radio show, is that correct?
No, I still do a television show, but just part-time, and I do a lot of chatting with folks on the radio, as I'm doing with you, and advocating for animals, educating about animals, trying to help us all realize that animals of all kinds, from the farm to the family room, it's not just our dogs and our cats, are sentient beings who have emotions and intelligence, and we owe them our understanding and compassion. So that's one of the things I get to devote a lot of time to right now.
What do you think are the best things that we can do for our pets? I mean, you know, you love them, you care for them, you try to keep them out of danger, which is a constant battle with Gracie. She loves to eat whatever's on the floor, and we also own a jewelry store here, Kathy. So,
did you hear that?
And when she wants to get your attention, she actually goes into the safe and brings out something that she knows she's not supposed to have and then runs back and forth in front of you to get your attention. So you have to say, Gracie, give that back.
And then does she?
Yes, she does, because she knows that she's going to be in bigger trouble if she doesn't give it back.
Well, you sound like your philosophy might be a lot like mine. You know, there are some trainers who say we teach our dogs absolute obedience. We teach them to always understand these commands. A lot of people use treats to make that happen, and that is certainly one way of looking at it. My way of looking at it is that your relationship with an animal is a relationship. It's a two-way street. And the tighter that you can build your bond and your mutual understanding, that means the dog understanding you and you also understanding the dog, then the better your relationship's going to be. And in fact, the more well-behaved your dog is going to be, because it wants to please you and has this bonding. Think of it like spouses or best friends or whatever. If you have that bond in your relationship, then you try to make the two-way street comfortable for both of you. And positive reinforcement is the best training tool out there.
Yes, yes. Well, that, Kathy, and I do believe in a water bottle when there's no other way.
Yeah, it's harmless, you know, and it's just a quick little reminder.
It's like, refocus, Gracie, refocus here with us. Well, Kathy, you know, well, I could tell you stories about Gracie, but that's not what we're here for. But I do think that what you're doing is pretty wonderful out there. The thing about adoption and animal societies and everything, you know, they're struggling everywhere. one of the problems that our Humane Society here has is the food issue in today's world. Because, you know, they used to get all these overruns from all these great dog food, cat food companies. A lot of those sources have dried up now.
Yeah, a lot of shelters have started funds specifically for that, that you make donations to go towards food, and then a lot of shelters have food banks, actually, for animals. You know, during our downturn of the last several years, one of the primary reasons that people were giving up their animals was they could no longer afford to feed them. It wasn't just about veterinary care or whatever, but food can be quite expensive. So the more that any of us who are able to can help with that, the better.
Sure. And, you know, one of the questions, we haven't talked a lot about what we were supposed to talk about. We got off on all these other fun issues. But as far as this, do dogs have short-term or long-term memory or both? I personally feel Gracie knows exactly what she's doing when she's doing it to me. What is your professional opinion?
I think that they have both, and common thought says that their short-term memory is very short, that it's just from a few seconds to a few minutes, and that, of course, is why, we like dogs because they live in the moment. But I think we might not give them enough credit for short-term memory. For example, if you tell your dog that you're going to take her for a walk and then you get distracted and you're doing something for a few minutes, probably Gracie doesn't forget that she's been told that she's going for a walk. And then they also have long-term memory, which is evidenced by the fact, of course, that they can remember our language, they know where things are in the house, they know their neighborhood. You can take them back to somewhere they haven't been for many, many years, and they will remember the place. Another way to think about dogs' memory is associative versus real. So real memory is concrete memory. I remember the word sit, I know what that means, and I do it. Associative memory, let's take the car as an example. If the car is used only to take the dog to the vet, then you say, let's go get in the car. The dog's not going to be real happy about it because car is associated with vet. If, however, the car also goes to the park or goes on picnics and goes on fun places, then you say, let's go to the car. Dog associates car with fun. So that's another way of thinking of the way they remember things.
Sure. It's like every time I'm going to the bank, she looks at me, and I go, all right, come on, and she knows we're going to the bank. And when we get to the bank in the drive-through window, the tellers all say, okay, is Gracie there? And she barks and lets them know, and then the treat comes out.
Yeah, so anyone who even suggests that dogs don't have memory, I can't imagine. Well, I know what it dates to. You know, we're still fighting the battles begun in the 17th century by a philosopher who said that dogs are machines. We're still battling that. But how can anyone who has ever known a dog, spent any time with them, suggest that they don't, in fact, have memory? Baffles me.
Yeah, it does me, too. Well, Kathy Unruh, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the air with us. We'll have to have you back again. And make sure you have a good time. You're down in Tampa, is that correct?
Yep, Tampa Bay, Florida. Hot, hot, hot.
Hot, hot, hot. And I'll bet you're going to have some good fireworks down there.
Yeah. Thank you, Ann. It was great talking with you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.